Namaon Vishnu Padayo Krishna Prastayo Bhutale Shimare Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Shunyavade Parsachare Sotarine. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Radha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Radha. Gopichana Ballava Jayo Girivaradhare Jayo Girivaradhare. Yashoda Nandana Jayo Vrajajana Rajana Jayo Vrajajana Rajana. Yashoda Nandana Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jayo Kunjabi Hare Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jayo Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jayo Kunjabi Hare Jayo Kunjabi Hare. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasare Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, thank you so much for having me here today at this new Raman Reti temple. It's my great privilege, and I feel very humbled to be given the opportunity to speak in the glorious assembly of such senior devotees. So I'm going to try in my small way to speak on this verse, which is from Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 19, right? And from the chapter entitled Renunciation of Kardama Muni. So please excuse me, I've just been recovering from the flu as well. So let's just repeat word for word firstly. Oh, first let's recite. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ayam Siddha Gana Disa Sankhya Charya Susammata Loke Kapila Itiakyam Kantate Kirtivardana. Ayam Siddha Gana Disa Sankhya Charya Susammata Loke Kapila Itiakyam Ganta Te Kirti Vardana. Ayam Siddha Gana Disa Sankhya Charya Susammata Loke Kapila Iti Akyam Ganta Te Kirti Vardana. If you Ayam Siddha Gana Disa.
Thank you.
iti akyam. Kantate kirti vardhanaha. Om Siddha Ganadisa. Kacharya nam sasamata. Okay, Kapila. Gantate kirti vardhana. Ganadisha. Okay, Kapila, iti akya. Okay, let's repeat word for word. I am this personality of Godhead. Siddhagana of the perfected sages. Adisa, the head. Sankhya Acharya, by Acharya's expert in Sankhya philosophy. Susamata, approved according to Vedic principles. Loke, in the world. Kapila iti, as Kapila. Akyam, celebrated. Ganta, he will go about. Te, your. Kirti, fame. Vardhana, increasing. Translation, your son will be the head of all the perfected souls. He will be approved by the Acharyas, expert in disseminating real knowledge, and among the people he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sankhya philosophy is the philosophical system enunciated by Kapila, the son of Devahuti. The other Kapila, who is not the son of Devahuti, is an imitation. This is the statement of Brahma, and because we belong to Brahma's disciplic succession, we should accept his statement that the real Kapila is the son of Devahuti, and that real Sankhya philosophy is the system of philosophy which he introduced and which will be accepted by the Acharyas, the directors of spiritual discipline. The word, excuse me, Susammata means accepted by persons who are counted upon to give their good opinion. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Numostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patita Nam Pavanabhiyo Vaishnavabhiyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll just read the translation again. And I think Srila Prabhupada has like made many significant points in this very short purport. Your son will be the head of all the perfected souls. He will be approved by the Acharyas, expert in disseminating real knowledge. And among the people, he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame. So Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, he makes a few points. And like I said, it's a short purport. But within that short purport, he's establishing the fact, firstly, that Kapila, as the son of Devahuti, and this is, you know, emphasized that this Kapila, the one who is the son of Devahuti, is the authentic, real Kapila who has established and enunciated the Sankhya philosophy. Right. And he mentions that there is another Kapila, and that Kapila, who also spoke Sankhya philosophy, is, and who is not the son of Devahuti. So he's making a very clear distinction in terms of the both Kapilas, and also in terms of establishing the Sankhya philosophy as enunciated by each of them in terms of which is the Sankhya philosophy that is the philosophy that, you know, is the established, authentic philosophy that as followers of Lord Brahma, of our Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya, that we follow. And that is none other than Lord Kapila, who is the son of Devahuti. Right? And then he says in this purport as well that this philosophy that is spoken by Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, would be accepted by the Acharyas. So he's establishing the point of Guru Parampara as well, and our disciplic succession. And so, you know, on the face of it, this purport seemingly speaks about Sankhya philosophy and and the importance in differentiating between the two Sankhya philosophies that have been spoken, have been promulgated and spread, and the two Kapilas. Now that seems, you know, on the face of it to be the gist of what this purport is all about. However, there is a more significant aspect, and it's such a sweet topic, you know, in terms of what Prabhupada is actually saying, if one reads, not even between the lines, but actually he says it quite clearly. And that is establishing how knowledge is passed down and how do we accept this kind of knowledge, who is the correct source to receive the knowledge from, how should we receive that knowledge, and it's also in terms of clarifying, you know, how we accept this knowledge and what we do with this knowledge as well. So just to give a little bit more of context, just let's refresh ourselves in terms of the preceding verse. The preceding verse, which was text 18, I'll just read the translation. Lord Brahma then told Devahuti, "My dear daughter of Manu, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who killed the demon Kaitaba is now within your womb. He will cut off all the knots of your ignorance and doubt. Then he will travel all over the world." So who is speaking here? These verses that are being recited and that we are reading are actually being spoken by Lord Brahma. And we know that Lord Brahma is actually the secondary creator of the universe. And Lord Brahma is full of knowledge because he received this knowledge himself directly from Lord Krishna. So whatever he says is coming from a very authentic, bona fide source, as having received it himself directly, had this direct transmission, you know, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to himself. And whatever such great personalities, authorities, we consider them as our spiritual authorities, what they say is accepted because of the nature of their position, of the fact that they have this direct knowledge, and we accept This is the system within our Krishna consciousness philosophy, and that is that we accept knowledge from a bona fide source. So if Lord Brahma is saying that Lord Kapila is actually non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one then realizes how great devotees must Kadamba Muni and Devahuti have been to have the Lord take birth as their child. And earlier when Panchagoda Prabhu was singing Yashamati Nandana, I was actually, you know, reflecting on this point and thinking about how merciful Krishna can be, that out of the love and of his devotees, he is so merciful that he even takes birth as their child. And this is Bhakta Vatsala, where he's so inclined towards his devotees. And in this way, the Lord, although he is, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's the father of all living entities, but he can take the role of a child and take birth, and yet he is not an ordinary human person, human being. But he plays this role to give pleasure to his devotees. And also importantly in this instance, Lord Brahma is also establishing the fact that Lord Kapila is going to, you know, speak the Sankhya philosophy, which will cut the knots of illusion that will exist. One must also look at the context in which this is happening as well. This is where creation has just happened, and then Kadamba Muni, such a great sage, you know, so powerful with all these mystic powers, and after performing tapasya for thousands and thousands of years, has now, you know, got married to this princess Devahuti, who herself, following the footsteps of her husband, in terms of as much as she was, you know, come from a lifestyle of such, you know, opulence, surrendered to the lifestyle of her ascetic husband, and him, out of being pleased with her attitude, provided her with, you know, a space that was like a spaceship with all facilities, eventually, out of him being pleased with her service attitude as well. And as a result of that, they begot 9 daughters who were then married off to the progenitors, and this is how, you know, the world was going to become populated. But Devahuti desired as well to have the son, and she just did not get any ordinary son. She had the Supreme Personality of Godhead taking birth from within her womb. So we see how Lord Krishna is so merciful towards his devotees, and how he comes with a purpose. He comes with a purpose, like we know in Bhagavad Gita as well, to reestablish religious principles, to annihilate the miscreants, but here as well, in terms of establishing religious principles, he is going to speak. And Devahuti later asks of him various questions. And when Kadamba Muni, this chapter is entitled about his renunciation, and when he leaves home and he leaves his wife in the capable hands of the son, not just any son in this instance as well, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she will then make her inquiries from Lord Kapila, who will then impart this knowledge to her. It's very significant when we think of that which is yet to come, and her mood in that instance of how she approaches Lord Kapila. It's almost like how Arjuna surrenders to Krishna on the battlefield. And then he says, you know, I'm a soul surrendered unto you. And once he takes complete shelter of Krishna, Krishna is then able to speak Bhagavad Gita. So likewise, we will see shortly how Devahuti will surrender to Kapila Dev in the sense of, you know, seeking this kind of knowledge, and he will impart this knowledge to her. So like I said, you know, excuse me, Brahma is the person that is actually establishing Lord Kapila's position, his unique position, and also the fact that we are followers of the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya, we will accept what he has stated, which brings us to the point of the importance of Guru Parampara. For us as followers of ISKCON, of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, ourselves having been initiated into this parampara, and many of you here are direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and I am a second generation disciple, being a disciple of His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj. But this is the chain that Lord Krishna even establishes when he speaks Bhagavad Gita, you know, like when he says how the Bhagavad Gita was initially spoken to the sun god, and over time, it needed to be repeated, because when this chain becomes broken, then religious principles needs to be reestablished. Because the whole purpose of the parampara is that there has to be this unbroken chain of disciplic succession for the transmission of knowledge to take place in a very authentic manner. It is, you know, significant that this unbroken chain of disciplic succession actually establishes the fact that it does not give room or opportunity for anyone to speculate, to give their own interpretation of some aspect of philosophy or on the pastimes of Lord Krishna, but it is hearing this from an unbroken chain where it's handed down from master to disciple. And in this way, we know whatever knowledge we receive is authentic and it is bona fide. So also when we speak about the Guru Parampara, we also need to consider what is the proper attitude of the disciple in terms of receiving this knowledge. Right, one approaches the spiritual master with humility, with sincere inquiry, and in the mood of serving the spiritual master, as Krishna himself described in Bhagavad Gita. Tadviri pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So we are not, you know, when you go to school, you receive a textbook, for instance, and you could self-study. But when you self-study, it doesn't mean that you will necessarily grasp everything in the manner that you were meant to learn and understand. We all need that teacher who is going to impart knowledge to us, who is going to explain things to us. We are not intelligent. Our intelligence comes by the mercy of the spiritual master, and in terms of, even there's a verse in Bhagavatam how a lame man can cross mountains and a dumb man can speak eloquently. It's all due to the mercy of the spiritual master. So whatever knowledge we gain is due to the mercy of the spiritual master, and who needs to be approached in the submissive manner, as Krishna himself established in Bhagavad Gita, to approach the spiritual master in submissive manner, to render service unto him, to inquire from him submissively, and in this way, the knowledge will be imparted. The spiritual master, having been pleased, will share this knowledge with us. And we see even with the, when the knowledge is passed down, we see how that Brahma represents the beginning of the disciplic succession. He was the first guru in the universe. And he is not saying, Kapila is not going to come and say, I am God. We've never seen this, where he says that he is God and that he has a new philosophy, for instance, and this is an important principle. But his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fact that he is going to establish the Sankhya philosophy, is all predicted, it is announced by Lord Brahma. Whereas nowadays you find, you know, many people announce themselves as being self-acclaimed God, self-acclaimed gurus, not coming in any disciplic succession. And they just become, they pop up. You know, you normally have in shopping centers, I don't know here in the US, but sometimes you say there's a pop-up shop. You know, it's going to be for a limited period in this mall, in the shopping center, this shop that's going to pop up. But now we find self-acclaimed gurus, persons who claim to be God themselves, you know, announcing themselves. But that is not the actual authentic way of establishing someone's position. That position is made known by great personalities such as Lord Brahma himself. And this, the recognizing of authority. Now, when someone studies for their PhD these days, or actually in university when you study and you submit your research assignments, etc., one is expecting that this is going to be an original piece of research. Everything is original. And that's how you get your PhD conferred on you. It's like, what are you sharing with us? What is your discovery? Now, the converse works within the spiritual realm. It is not that what new are you creating, but rather, what are you telling us that you are repeating from what has already been established by your predecessors? That's what makes this bona fide. Unlike in material knowledge and in material universities, and where you've got to create something new to be recognized. In spiritual knowledge, in the spiritual path, what makes something authentic is that it is not new. It's not newly created. It's not created by you. Persons, we are all subject to the four defects. You know, prone to making mistakes, cheating propensity, and we're under the illusion. And how can we create something that is going to be pure and is going to be authentic? So in this way, unlike material discoveries, when we hear knowledge coming from authentic, bona fide spiritual sources, because it's simply repeated in the unbroken disciplic chain, that is what makes it genuine knowledge, genuine information. And therefore, likewise here as well, this is what is being established here, because Brahma is already establishing the position of Lord Kapila. Right? And And it is not because original teaching is insufficient, because the train of succession or transmission needs to be not broken. Once it is broken, that is the danger, because the message of the Lord is perfect. But when human beings start adding their own interpretations, they remove inconvenient parts or adjust teachings according to their own desires, the original potency becomes covered. And therefore, this disciplic succession or parampara is essential in our lineage, tracing it back, you know, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, all the way back then. And that is why Srila Prabhupada has called his Bhagavad Gita as it is. And because nothing is manufactured. So we also speak about the three pillars of transcendental knowledge, which is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Because the question arises, if transcendental knowledge comes through parampara, how do we actually receive the knowledge? How does the living entity, who is covered by ignorance and illusion, come back to the platform of spiritual understanding? And that was, you know, explained by Lord Krishna, how we would get this knowledge, by this verse, Tadvidi Pranipatena. So Krishna is not saying, just go and read books, perform austerities, meditate independently. He himself is saying, approach a spiritual master. And then he gives us three principles. Pranipata, Pariprasnena, and Seva, right? So firstly, the mood of surrender, Pranipata, right? It's a Sanskrit word that indicates approaching with humility, bowing down, and surrendering one's false ego. Externally, one may offer obeisances to the guru. You know, every morning we've offered, just a little while ago, we've offered our flowers to Srila Prabhupada, we've bowed down before Srila Prabhupada, we bow down before the Vaishnavas. But what about our internal consciousness, that humility within our internal consciousness? You know, we should be consider ourselves as fools in front of the guru. That is the mood. We are fools in front of our guru because the guru has all this knowledge and we are here in this mood of humility. I am in the mode of ignorance. And the spiritual master opens my darkened eyes with the torch of knowledge. So in this mood, we approach the spiritual master. Not that I know, I understand my opinion. I have an opinion. My opinion is correct. My way is better. And because if we have that kind of an attitude, then it prevents our spiritual advancement. The mood that we should approach the spiritual master for spiritual advancement should be, I am suffering because of my conditioning. I require guidance. And this is how Arjuna actually approached Krishna. In the beginning, he was a great warrior. He was intelligent. He was friends with Lord Krishna. But then he became, you know, bewildered and he was, in this dilemma. And what should he do? So he surrendered to Lord Krishna. And he said, now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So when we are ready and willing to surrender completely to the instruction of the spiritual master, that is when the spiritual master will reciprocate with providing us with this knowledge, with this guidance, and helping us progress in our spiritual lives. You know, once Srila Prabhupada, I've heard, was receiving this reporter, and the devotees had put down, you know, cushions, and there was a Vyasa San there. And when Srila Prabhupada came in, he sat on the cushion and not on the Vyasa San, and this reporter was there as well. And Srila Prabhupada and the disciples, you know, were like, why isn't Srila Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasa San on a higher level than the rest of them and as the reporter? And Srila Prabhupada turned and he said, because I know that you do not accept me as your authority. And he was referring to this reporter. Because the spiritual master, when he knows what is the mind of that audience of his, of the person that who's making inquiries from him, if that person is not fully surrendered unto him and accepting him as the authority position person in his life, then what is the purpose of giving instructions to someone who is going to be faithless? So to that extent of surrender, that extent of mercy and knowledge will be provided by the spiritual master. Right? And then the inquiry has to be very sincere. It should not be in a challenging mood. It should not be, we're not saying do not ask questions. But questions should be asked, you know, in the mood of genuinely wanting to understand, to and not like, let me see if I can defeat you, if I can win this argument. It's not an argument. That's not the approach with the spiritual master. Asking questions is healthy. Many questions should be there, but it should be in the mood of I want to understand better. Right? And of course, the third principle is seva, service, you know. Inquiry alone is not enough. Service purifies the heart. Because otherwise, it's just going to be getting knowledge. The heart of the conditioned soul is covered by so much of selfish desires. We all have this inclination, I want this, I need this, I deserve that. But service is changes the consciousness. Instead of what can I get, your consciousness changes to what can I give. And that transformation is essential for receiving spiritual knowledge. A person may hear the instructions of the guru for many, many years, but unless that service mood is there, the teachings will just remain very much theoretical and external. And the guru is not being impressed because one of his disciples is intelligent. The guru is impressed because the disciple is sincerely trying to serve the mission of his guru. And he's not like it's his mission, but rather it's the mission of the parampara. So it's going through the disciplic. You're serving our entire disciplic succession when you serve your guru. And then he will impart knowledge. He's not a businessman, but he wants the disciple to advance. And in this way, you know, this knowledge can be imparted and can be received in this wonderful mood. We also need to look at, and you know, something significant. I actually printed this out last night. I'm mindful of the time as well. Srila Prabhupada, when he did his Vyasa Puja homage back in 1936, and he was standing before the members of the Gaudiya Math in Bombay, as it was known back then, on the occasion of the Vyasa Puja of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when he read this poem of his, you know, at that stage, Srila Prabhupada was just a grihastha compared to the sannyas disciples that were there present. And how much of access did he really have to his spiritual master? Not much. From my readings and hearing other classes, etc., it appears that he may have only met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur around 10 or 11 times. And some of us, many of you are Srila Prabhupada disciples here, many of you may have had close associations, some have had very limited association, whereas us as second generation devotees have such a great opportunity to associate with our spiritual masters. So, you know, opportunity for service, opportunity to attend programs, to hear from them directly. And in this age of technology where, you know, there's Zoom, there is YouTube videos, you can gain so much of association in this manner. But Srila Prabhupada didn't have, so much of direct and close association per se with his own spiritual master. And I know that many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, as I've been traveling, I've been hearing more and more, some of them have very, very, very short episodes of, even direct association with Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, Vani is more important than Vapu, because it's by the associating with the spiritual master through following his instruction is what pleases him. And in this way, you know, even Srila Prabhupada, how pleased Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was when there's this couplet in the poem that he read, and he said, "Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved." And when he said this, and when he read this in his offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, apparently he was so impressed that this disciple of his has understood his mission, has understood the philosophy completely, to the extent that he said that this poem should be published in The Harmonist. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he followed the instructions of his spiritual master. His spiritual master said, if you have money, print books. Srila Prabhupada has taken the instructions of his spiritual master to be his heart and soul. And that is how we are all here today. If it was not for Srila Prabhupada's commitment to his spiritual master, to the entire disciplic succession, we wouldn't have these books, we wouldn't have the knowledge, we wouldn't have the association of the devotees, we wouldn't have the opportunities to render service. And this is what, you know, the difference between the Sankhya philosophies as preached by the different Kapilas is that Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, gave Sankhya philosophy, you know, differentiate between matter and spirit, but also in his presentation, it is about understanding who we really are. What is our constitutional position? What is our role as servants, as spirit souls, as servants of Lord Krishna, and the way that we reconnect and reestablish our lost loving relationship is with Krishna is to render devotional service. So he gave the path and he led to bhakti yoga as the practice, whereas the other Kapila is the atheistic philosophy. And it doesn't take you to the path of bhakti yoga. So this is the importance of, you know, of surrendering to the instruction of the spiritual master, as we will see that Devahuti will do as well, as the following verses come, as Lord Kapila speaks to her as well. Another significant aspect that we need to be mindful of is the principle of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Because as much as we say surrender unto the spiritual master, we know that there are many charlatans out there as well. And this is embedded in our philosophy that we will always have the opportunity to verify whatever knowledge we get. I mean, we shouldn't be in a distrusting fashion, especially if the spiritual master is coming within the paramparas. But we have these very, you know, these checks and balances that are put in place to ensure that the knowledge we receive is authentic, and that is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So we hear from the Guru, and it should be confirmed by other sadhus, other saintly devotees. And the sadhu is one who lives in accordance with Shastra. So sadhu does not simply speak philosophy, he embodies philosophy. He is the embodiment of it. He is the living practical example, puts it into practice. And then we see that the Guru represents and he connects us with Krishna. We are not qualified. You know, we have the, internally we have the Paramatma, where the Guru sits as the Paramatma, Krishna as the Paramatma within our hearts. But we need that external Guru because we are not, we are so conditioned that we have the mercy, we need the mercy of the spiritual master. And we know that when we sing the prayers in the morning, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagagitoktopi, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, saying by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, there is no advancement. So we sing that, but we need to also live and accept and understand and reflect on the words, you know, that we sing every day, that we genuinely need the mercy of the spiritual master, right? So Shraddha needs to be there, and it's not just blind belief. It is Shraddha based on confidence and on understanding itself. So on that note, you know, I would like to just conclude. I'm mindful of the time as well, and I've got to get back to the Bhaktivedanta Institute, where we are presenting this three-day training that starts at 10 a.m. So I think I'd just like to, you know, leave us on the note that we should always consider, how can I please my spiritual master? What instruction does he have for me? If I do not have his personal association or a direct instruction for me personally, whatever the instructions are, you know, that he may give generally, I should apply that to my life. How do I become a better servant? How do I become a better disciple? And how do I stay connected with my spiritual master? Because the real connection is through service and following his instructions. And this is beautifully demonstrated by the mood you will see shortly with Devahuti, how she approaches Kapila, not as a mother demanding affection, but in the mood of a disciple where she's suffering in material existence and surrenders it to him and asks him and says to him to please instruct me, just like Arjuna did on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know, when he approached Lord Krishna as well. So we should approach with humility, with sincere inquiry, and with the mood of loving service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So I'm not sure if there's any questions. Panchagoda Prabhu.
So Arjuna and Uddhava asking Krishna, you know, to identify himself. He says, of the Vedas, I am Brahma. Of saintly persons, I am Narada. Of kings, I am Indra. And on and on and on. Many descriptions of the sun and this. So how do we take it personal or impersonal? If Krishna is everything, then how do we identify, you know, where do we go with, if he's I'm of birds and Garuda, and, you know, so many wonderful descriptions are there given by Krishna. So what is the purpose of a actual guru? When all the instructions are already there, we could just read the instruction of the other gurus. What's the use of a personal guru that you don't even get his association anyway sometimes?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's an important point, because that's why we have Shiksha gurus and we have Diksha gurus, because the Diksha guru connects you to the parampara. But you don't necessarily only have to have that direct connection with, you know, your spiritual master. We shouldn't become like, this is my spiritual master, and we become factions within a society. It is Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha guru within ISKCON. And so whatever Srila Prabhupada has said is, Srila Prabhupada is everyone's guru. But we also form that personal connection in terms of your own inclination to your spiritual master. You know, like something touches you in your heart. At least I'm speaking from my own personal experience. Because when I came into ISKCON, I was a little girl, and I know my family, you know, were in the association at that time. Jayatirtha was, and we had the zonal acharya system. He used to come to Durban, to South Africa in the 1970s, and they were very much attached to him. And then he left, and then Bhagavan came, and then we had a second, you know, experience there as well. But Srila Prabhupada is there, and then with due course of time, when Indradyumna Swami came into our lives, and we, you know, I felt that personal connection. So, and I knew that this would be my spiritual master. So I think the role of one's own spiritual master is where you can reveal your mind. And your spiritual master can give you guidance in that respect. But that doesn't prevent, and that does not replace our literature, what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And we should avoid, you know, being on that sentimental platform of, you know, I would only do what my guru tells me. Whereas we are in a society where this is a family. We see how Srila Prabhupada's disciples interact with each other, especially those who are gurus. If we observe their interactions, they are always, you know, giving association, giving instructions to everyone, and giving shelter to anyone and everyone, whether and not discriminating, oh, this is my disciple, that's not my disciple. And likewise, we take advantage of the instructions and association that we get from any sadhu. But I think whatever Krishna has said to us, if I go back to the point, are we qualified to interpret correctly what Krishna is establishing in Bhagavad Gita himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or like you said, you know, I am the taste of water, I am time, and all of these. Can we perceive all of this directly? So that is why we need that spiritual master in our lives to give us, you know, an understanding of it, so we can understand the scripture. Thank you.
Yes, I want to thank you for, again, reiterating and compounding the idea, you know, of the disciplic succession. And, you know, due to my age, death is right around the corner. And sometimes I feel like in my next birth, you know, if I am not studious and know, you know, like you were saying, there's so many cheaters out there as well, that if I don't really come to know the mercy that I've received through His divine grace, you know, there's that possibility, you know, there's always a possibility that we can be cheated, you know, in the next life, because, you know, sometimes I wonder, will I be able to recognize Prabhupada's ISKCON, you know, in my next birth, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we really are dependent that these individuals that take this position will guide us through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada so that we can continue this process of becoming self-realized, you know. So thank you for stressing that over and over again. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you again for stressing the importance and significance of the parampara as it is. However, I wonder how you explain the validity of applying time, place, and circumstance and making a change and how that could lead to real chaos, if you know, if one, so who is qualified to make those adjustments?
I think that's an important consideration, time, place, and circumstance as well. We adapt, you know, according to, I think the main thing, and I'm going to be very quick in my answer, being mindful of time, is that that is why we have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And we adapt, but according to, you know, it still needs to remain unadulterated in the sense. So it's according to the audience, for instance. I've just come from New York, and we were at the Bhakti Center. And we see the mood and the approach there is very different from the traditional temple setting that you'd find here, even in terms of attire, in terms of the presentation. So it's according to time, place, and circumstance as well. It's the audience that you're receiving. It is not in any way, you know, deviating from our philosophy, but simplifying it so that we can attract these souls in accordance with, you know, their ability or what interests them at this point in time in their lives. And as they come in and they become attracted to this Krishna conscious philosophy, then they can delve a bit more deeper and then take to the, you know, the rules, the regulations, etc., that are there. But we are not compromising in that respect, but we're just making it a bit more accessible to other audiences that may not otherwise take to Krishna consciousness. So I think as long as we do not deviate, but we can kind of modify to make it more accessible. Thank you very much.
Very nice class. Thank you. I was reflecting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who actually compiled the names of Guru Parampara. And in that list, some of the names are missing. Some of the Shiksha Guru are given more prominent. And then he explained, because the principle of Guru Parampara, what came down from Lord Krishna to Brahmaji all the way to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then Gaur Kishudas Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, he said this principle has to be focused, and that on that base, those names are there in our parampara. Some names like Bipin Bihari, I can say the name because I had a talk with Radhanath Maharaj about it. Bipin Bihari, he was a Diksha Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he was not following this principle. For an example, Krishna is by himself, for himself, of himself. He is endowed with inconceivable potency. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. There are two kinds of soul, conditioned soul and eternally liberated. And then he gives a breakdown, then how the material nature is simultaneously one and different. And pure bhakti, what produced the pure love for God is the ultimate goal for all living being, and Krishna Prem is the ultimate goal for all living being, and bhakti is the only way to attain that. Anyway, I'm just giving a little tips on that. So that synopsis, on that base, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur created this disciplic succession. And if we look at everybody's life in vivid way, we will see that they all followed these 10 principles. That's why this parampara is so valid and so unique compared to any other guru parampara exists today in this world. So I appreciate that you glorified the guru parampara so nicely.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.